Let's begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee. April 13th, 2015, and I have about 6:05 in the evening. Would you please take a moment to review the minutes from the March 9th and March 23rd Board Finance Committee meeting?
I read those this afternoon. I'm good, Bob.
Hey, Drew and Joe?
I'm fine.
Okay. All right, then we'll begin this evening's first conversation, and that will be the 2015 Summer Capital Projects. You have a brief board report or finance committee report in front of you, and so I'll just walk through the various recommendations that we have and where we stand with each one of these. First of all is the replacement of the Allerton backtalk system. That's a system that controls all of our heating and air conditioning, ventilation. It controls airflow into the buildings and getting rid of the CO2 and so forth. We've had the current system in place since 1997, and it is it's difficult, if not virtually impossible, for us to get new parts. What we're essentially done is we scavenger parts that we have from buildings that we've used, like when we did the remodeling projects, whatever we could scavenge from other projects we have, and we also have our current contractor who does this work for us has very old parts on store. So we have had this, or in store for us, we have had this project on our radar for a number of years, and we really feel as though now is the time to pull the trigger. Total cost of the project per Dave Scarmato is approximately $300,000. We would like to do half the project this summer and half the project next summer.
I'm sorry, Bob, you said 300? I thought I read 482.
That's the total cost of all the projects that you have in your packet for this year.
Okay.
So as we walk through all of these projects, they'll total up to about $482,000. Okay. And this is coming to you rather late in the year, first of all because of all the ongoing construction work, and then more specifically because of the work involving the second addition of Churchill. So these are things we would like to take care of. As I mentioned, then the first item is the replacement of our current controls for the heating, air conditioning, ventilation systems.
And what you're going to replace these with is going to be something that's state of the art.
This is 21st century. This is state of the art.
It'll last for another 20 years.
We would hope another 15, 18 years is our hope.
Are you going to have any servicing agreements associated with this purchase?
There are agreements in place for an initial warranty period. We have not taken on specific continued maintenance agreements. We could look into it, but we have not previously done that. We've done it on a pay-as-you-go basis. Okay. But we could certainly look into a service agreement.
So this is just the control panel, not the entire system.
It's part of the whole system. See, my guys, at night it gets cold out, a boiler goes down or whatever goes down, they get notification, they can dial in remotely, they can see the exact temperature in every room in every building that we have.
That's what we'll be in once you do this.
We have that current.
Okay.
This is an updated system that we would like to install. So we have that currently.
So Bob, what's breaking down? Are we just
software, hardware, everything in the system? It's 17, 18 years old now. So we have up in the duct systems, there are devices up there that tell you how hot or cold or how much airflow is coming in and out of the system. Virtually everything associated with the system is breaking down.
Which part are going to do this year and which one next year?
Dave has a plan to do part of the system throughout all of our buildings this year.
So half of each building in 1 year and half of the other buildings the following year.
I would say he'll probably prioritize which parts of the system are in the worst shape and then roll that in the first year and then the balance of the project in the second year. But it's a good question, and I'll get some clarification on that.
What did he base his estimate on?
He went out and got pricing from Allerton.
Oh, so we're still using the same vendor.
We want the same vendor. As a matter of fact, there, it's actually ABC does the work for us now. There were originally two contractors, Convergent and ABC, that we used to kind of use for our work. And Convergent went out of business a year or two ago, and now it's only ABC that has this system in place. It's worked well for us for a number of years, and that's why we'd like to maintain that relationship.
So Allerton is
the manufacturer of the system.
ABC is the provider.
Provider and contractor. Maintainer.
Okay.
They maintain the systems for us. That's who, if we have a programming issue or something goes down in our system that we can't react to or I should say fix, we call ABC and they come out on site and they work through our program to be able to adjust it to bring it up operationally again.
And Bob, I guess my question is, Allerton is the manufacturer, and that's the manufacturer of the prior unit was from
97.
Are you at all concerned that they're the manufacturer? We're going back to the same manufacturer, and you're having a problem getting parts from a manufacturer that you've dealt with for 18 years?
I don't know that I would be concerned.
Can we take a step back, though?
Sure.
I'm sensing some confusion in here. This isn't the HVAC system. This isn't the, you know, when you look up the ductwork or anything. It's the computer system that sends the sensors so that you can program the HVAC system.
That's exactly what it is.
So like most software, it gets outdated pretty quickly. I don't know. Do you have to replace these sensors from time to time, Jack?
Do you know?
I mean, these sensors go out. I know.
They go out. I don't know if they can be replaced as part of a magnet upgrade.
This doesn't include the sensors.
No, this is just front of the house type of system that allows us to manage our buildings.
Across
the computer system.
It's a computer system across five buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Six buildings, including the CSL. Okay. And that's why there's no parts, because after 18 years, you can't go back to your computer and, you know, you've ditched it 4 years, you know, 4 years after you had it. So really, we're talking about computer software, computer hardware that services our HVAC system throughout the six buildings.
That's correct.
Okay. So,
good summary. Right.
Thank you for the summary.
Well, you read it, and I read it as HVAC too. Really,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And I know that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have a question about the approval. We approve this where we're listening and we're vetting it, then it goes to discussion, then you approve it on the 27th. If the price is a variance from what Dave has found, you come back to us.
Well, absolutely, but I was told this will be the first, this first year of implementation is $149,800.
Okay. So if it's varied from that, we would come
then
back.
Then I'm going
to
come back to you.
But you're going to have to go. You're going to go after bid that, right?
No. Software proprietary system. I spoke with the attorneys, and it's not necessary to bid this project. Anytime you involve technology, like when we go out for copiers, we don't bid copiers because it's a form of technology. It falls outside of the bidding requirements.
Okay.
I turned it on once.
Okay, so we know what the 149 is going to be, but we think we know what the...
They told, according to Dave now, the price for the new update would be $300,000. First year pricing is $149,800.
Okay, so we'd be signing a contract for three.
I would be
three
signing.
Change.
You know, I'll have to get a response to you for that question. My plan is to engage for this year only, and then next year, in other words, not obligate the district for a purchase over 2 years.
But I mean,
the price
but we're in the
up.
Hook, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're half in,
right?
So you're all in.
Yeah, that's my question comes down to is, once you do this, do you have an out if you choose not to do it next time? Or since you bought this amount of software to implement on 50% of the system, I actually want a contract so that I don't, you know, kind of put myself behind.
Right.
So
they can't raise it up.
Yeah.
I don't know what the ceiling is.
Okay.
I mean, that's to me, unless you can, in midstream, come in with another provider to finish the work that they didn't finish.
It would not be our intention to come in with another provider.
No, I'm not saying it's your intention, but the pricing came back at $280,000 instead of $150,000. you would be forced to.
So that's a good point, and I will go. I'll meet with Dave tomorrow, and I'll reach out to Allerton and have that question answered for you, probably in an email later this week.
That gets the district 2 years of budget, mm-hmm. 2 years set cost and budget. How we do it, you know, over the 2 years.
A great question, and I'll get a response to it.
This way, we know what the ceiling is.
Right.
So, Carolyn, in our notes, I want to make sure I reach out to Dave tomorrow. Okay. All right. The next discussion item then this evening is around the Lincoln LMC and the renovations to that particular space. We have been meeting FGM and our team. We had myself, Karen, Linda Schweikoffer, her assistant principal. They've had teachers involved. So we've had a number of people that have been discussing the Lincoln, updating the Lincoln Library for a number of months now. I'm going to say the concept really was developed in probably December, and then we had a series of meetings, ongoing meetings, really since January. And what this provides, I'm sure most of you have been in there at one time or another. You know, it's rather dated. Everything, virtually everything in there needs to be replaced. So that's kind of the proposal that we put forth. And really, this is what we're talking about. I spoke to Jack last week, asked him for some very round figures in terms of what hard construction costs would be. And Jack is estimating this. We're estimating at about $150,000 worth of work. Additionally, the furniture will come in at approximately $55,000. And then where we do not, there are not cubbies for kids' hats and coats and so forth in Lincoln. So we're proposing putting in approximately 150 cubbies, excuse me.
There's a lot of cubbies.
There are cubbies in the new edition.
In the new edition, yeah. That's correct.
So they are there.
That I'm aware of. So basically what we would do is go in and clear out that entire space. And then more or less in the center of that space now, we would have a circulation desk, much like we have here at the Hadley Library. And then these are bookshelves that will be, you know, coming out in sort of spokes around a wheel. You'll have some unusual type of sitting arrangements for the kids, very similar to what we have here. There's going to be this room area. It will be a working space. This is currently, I know at one time it was an assistant principal's office. It's been a number of different spaces over the years. And then there's going to be a little production room, if you will, for kids to be able to go in there and work on projects, small group projects, very similar to what we have here or in the tech labs. If you move on, Mike, I wanted to show an overhead view to give you a better idea in terms of what this space will actually look like from an aerial. So this is what we'll be facing. I can't reach it. This is north. And this area is north. There will be a little demonstration production area for kids up here in the left-hand corner. There'll be some different types of leveled seating, much like we have here at the Hadley Library. Again, these areas, this is how the layout will look, ground circulation decks. We have new shelving units going in there and so forth, new carpeting. So this gives you a pretty good idea in terms of what we're proposing to do with that space. And we're doing it really, first of all, the space is obviously very dated, but to give the kids a new area to work in. Yes, sir.
Okay. A couple questions. Are those shelves like these shelves? Are they, can you move them?
Yes. Everything in this space is portable, including the circulation desk.
And you're standing south? What are those two? I was trying to figure this out when I was reviewing it over the weekend. Those two things that are jutting out right there on the on your right side.
On the east wall?
Yeah, on the east wall. What are those?
You know, and I wish Dave was here.
The mechanical areas?
Yes, we are not. Those are not going to be touched.
Because if you go in that classroom, the lower classroom, which I think is Mrs. Swatek, there's like this big, huge thing that hums every now and then. No, the one just off the other one.
Right over here?
Yeah, right over there.
Okay.
So those
we're not proposing to touch those areas.
And so those little user-friendly rooms you have are to the left right there where I can see the doors.
Here or up here?
Right up there.
Right.
Those are the ones you showed us earlier.
Correct.
Okay.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Drew.
Is a cubby the same thing as a locker?
Yes, except it's a wooden open. Type of device.
Oh, okay.
If you look at all the new additions, we have cubbies in all those spaces.
Okay. And they are greatly lacking at Lincoln.
They don't have.
If you go over to Lincoln, Joe can attest to this. Outside of the new area, we really have struggled for years with trying to hang coats. And
tell you this. If you go in back behind this area here, to the north of the existing LMC next to the classrooms, you'll walk in there, there's 50, 75 pairs of shoes just sitting there with coats and hats and boots and everything else. So this is our vision in terms of cleaning this area up. We want to bring it for a conversation this evening. Jack is involved in it on the part of FQC. We would like to go out for, we're going to go out for pricing on this and bring you back, ultimately bring you back a recommendation in terms of where we go.
Who designed this? Did I miss that?
FGM.
FGM did. So they're going to do plans for it?
They're done.
They've already done this.
And Jack has the plans, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he has the bid packets.
What did the plans cost for him? Is that part of an agreed to amendment or anything?
Part of our general services contract that we brought him in under.
So then they build it hourly?
Yes.
But that's already paid for.
No, it's being paid for.
It's just being paid as we go.
And correct.
Okay.
In correct. Normal billing process.
Normal billing process.
And they felt this was the best design because we gave them feedback that we liked what was happening in here.
Yes.
And with the teachers of the
teachers
that
and
was
administrators.
A big group.
And I want to tell you that we set some very defined fiscal, financial parameters around there. We were not going to do a space like this. I reined the group in because they had visions of a Hadley LMC there, and we told them, I told them, I don't want to put the type of money that we put into this space here.
And correct me with the term, but the media specialist, there's a check-in and check-out on one of your other ones, right in that center?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
See that. And then... what other schools do not have updated libraries?
None of the elementary schools do. This is the only one that we've updated in the past 20 years.
So this is the first?
But this
Franklin
one is.
Was new in 97.
Okay. So 97 for Franklin, 67 for Lincoln. When was Hadley? Hadley's looks relatively.
Well, Hadley's here.
I mean, not Hadley's. Churchill's looks.
Churchill good. Is was pr- that was put up when a new addition was put on. That
so
diamond shaped addition.
It
was
2000 or before?
97, 98,
say,
whenever those additions
that's what
were put
that,
on.
I thought it was 98.
And same thing with Forest Glen.
Same era.
Same, yes, when we put those additions on, which was about 98.
And they all, even though they're still a little older, they all look so much better than Lincoln's. Lincoln's is one of the dark. It's just not a great library space. I mean, compared to like Ben Franklin's, which is a very nice space with light. Forest Glen has light. It just helps it. And not that we're going to be able to do that with this one, but it does brighten it up a lot.
What are you going to do with the cool chairs they have?
The painted chairs?
Yeah.
I think Linda has talked about either auctioning those pieces off or using them throughout the building. They have talked about it though.
And if I recall right, well, that library is right in the center of the building.
It
right?
is. Virtually in the center of the building.
Not touching an outside wall or anything like that.
No, they would just be doing interior.
All work. Interior work.
Yep.
Start on June 6th on a Saturday and finish on August 15th.
Yeah, that's part of what we're looking at right now. Clearly mid-June through mid-August.
This year.
Only time
to yes.
work.
This year.
Yes. Matter of fact, you have, as part of this discussion this evening, you have pricing on what it will cost to do that, to buy the furniture and so forth for this space.
That's going to probably be your longest thing I work on this space, is to get the cubbies, the shelves, and the surf desk.
And I called, I spoke to our representative last week. It's about an eight-week lead time. So if we get them ordered mid-May, yeah, mid-May.
Yeah. Can't go much beyond that.
No.
To start to finish is $150,000
for construction. For construction only. Then we have about it. We have pricing for all but one item, which is the central. We have all pricing for all but a couple of items, and that came in at about 38, 40 for the 40. Lincoln LMC.
Mm-hmm.
40
plus
the circulation desk,
yeah.
And a couple of other spots that they provided us pricing after the fact. So
all in, were how much?
We're saying about $55,000 for furniture and about $30,000 for 150 cubbies.
$235,000.
And I have this has been built into the budget for this year.
This has to be bid, though.
We're going out for bidding through Jack.
Okay.
So what we're hoping for is to piggyback on the contractors, the subcontractors doing work for us now around our buildings.
Okay. So it's possible for the next meeting we have the bid results?
I don't. Not that.
Well,
quick.
No. We may have proposals to share with because the bidding statute is $20,000. And since we're doing it in the same vein that we're doing the current work with, you'll have a painter and a carpet company and an electrician. If those contracts are all under $20,000, we can get three proposals and come to the board with them as soon as we have them.
And we did speak to the, since we are going to hold the contracts individually as the district, it falls under the large threshold of bidding. So we thought we would go out as per board policy and seek competitive pricing. And then bring back a recommendation to you based upon that.
And it would be great if we could get it, for the next meeting. And there may be some issues
timing,
but
it'll be real close.
Okay.
We might be able to have some by that time because that's 2 weeks from today.
Mm-hmm.
We might have some, but maybe not.
So May 11th is the next full meeting. May 4th is the reorganization meeting.
You can do work on it. You can do work on the May 4th.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
That would be our worst case.
Yeah, well, May 11th would be fine because you need to order all this by that week for the cubbies and furniture.
The biggest thing is the lead time on the furniture fixtures, cubbies and things. The millwork.
One thing I'd like to know when you bring all this together, Bob, is what will the work that the architects did under the general, whatever it's called, mm-hmm. services, I'd like to know what that total was for this renovation work.
Okay.
Because to me that falls into this budget.
Although it'll be coming out of the same bucket.
We've already done some of the work. So we started the work really on this project in January under general services.
Right. So we'll bring that forward.
That'll be for information purposes.
Yeah, okay.
Well, to me, I just look at it as a whole budget to the to what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's a sunk cost. You discount it for if you're going to approve this or not. But to me, I want to know if it's $235 plus another $10, that's $245 or whatever it is.
Typically 12%.
Well, he did this under general services, so he did it under the hourly rate. It just really tells you how long it took. The cost of the project doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's just an hourly rate. So hopefully it was cheap because he took most of what he did here to do there.
Bob, you think that doing it through the existing contracts, it'll garner some significant savings?
Well, I won't say significant because we're on kind of a tight time.
The
potential is there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that having a group of captive subcontractors, you would hope that some of them would be, interested in continuing to help out. So.
I recommend having our next meeting at the Lincoln Library because this is the biggest cost. It's the biggest cost. Really see if it's worth it. This way you're living it. I mean, I go there. My kids both attend that school. And Have the Cub Scout meetings in there? And
guys do that. They want bigger chairs.
By the Headley Gym.
Bigger than these chairs? Because the ones in the library are really small.
Yeah, you're not going to like that.
They're a lot smaller than that.
The ones at
Churchill are really small, too.
Yeah.
I think Lincoln may be the smallest.
I think they're the smallest.
So, on to another item then, are the Headley Gym floors. Dave has been discussing this with me for a couple of years now. I actually had him go out to bid, and we had the lowest bid contractor was Haldeman and Home for $28,905, and they're going to come in and completely strip, refinish, and paint both gyms at Headley.
When's the last time they were done?
We have no idea.
Yeah, they are in terrible shape.
Yeah.
They're peeling.
They're not even. Yeah. Some of those boards are going to have to be. Does this include replacing any of the boards or no?
No, this was strictly so that ultimately could be an add-on too.
Yeah, there was a line item for replacing boards.
And there was it was so much per board foot or something.
Because I think you're going to have to replace boards.
Okay.
Yeah. I think if you walk through there on your way out, you'll probably
pick yourself on a nail.
You know, you can see in the one gym there's boards that there's.
Yeah, Carolyn said she think that it sounds like they've got a unit cost in there.
Because they did an inspection before they went there.
They've had a pre-bid meeting with the contractor.
They looked at it and said we could just strip this down and do it down. They were at 28, or they said this is what stripping is.
This is what the stripping, refinishing, and painting will be. If we need to replace boards, it'll be X number of dollars additionally.
They're going to need to replace boards.
Yeah.
I think the proper thing to do is based on their inspection. Ask them to estimate what they believe they should be replacing.
If I remember correctly, I want to say the total price with the replacement was like $30,000.
Okay.
I'm thinking of it in my head, and there was.
So they did that inspection already?
Yes, they did. They
had another couple grand for the boards.
It's absolutely needed, and if you go through it, you can see it. When I saw this pop up, I was like.
All in.
I was like, yes. I wrote yes next to it because it's, quite frankly, it's. Not really a gym floor you have out there.
You want to make sure, though, all in cost replacement, make sure that thing's up and running to the highest level possible. That's the price you want to see.
Yeah. If they did an inspection, right, Jack? They should know which boards at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't involved, but it sounds like there's been some, and certainly if they had a pre-bid meeting.
They had a pre-bid meeting on site.
And that's what we need to be communicated.
Other than that, I think it's certainly time to do it. So.
Yeah, it definitely is.
You went to school here and made that.
You were probably dribbling basketballs on that team.
I don't think that gym's been touched since I left it in 1976.
It doesn't look like
the library hadn't been touched.
If you wouldn't mind, I'm going to ask Karen to jump back into the LMC conversation. Just from a brief overview, we just touched on it, but from your perspective of instruction, how does this support instruction versus where Lincoln's at currently with the library? So sorry to kind of go back and forth. But
I'm fine with that. Well, quickly, we've estimated there could be seating for up to two classes worth of kids kind of in different areas and things like that. So that was important too. But what we were striving for was a little bit more of small group work areas, because usually that's what the kids in collaborative groups will kind of come together. And we want them to be able to come from a class and kind of sit down and work without, you know, the teacher doesn't necessarily have to be there in that. It just kind of created some of those flexible spaces. And then that kind of that presentation concept was both for if there's someone who's demonstrating or a mini lesson, like the digital media specialist might do that. So all the kids can kind of gather around that area, have their mini lesson, and then kind of go off and work. And then it's kind of that same teaching role too, where they serve as kind of a facilitator of learning as well. So kind of in line, you can kind of see a little bit of the carry through of, you know, trying to emulate what Hadley has here, you know, obviously a much smaller scale without redoing it. And they will have a little production area so the kids can make like iMovies and that. We've got them little green screen kits and that, just so that they can begin, which is that introductory piece that for when they get to Hadley. So it kind of supports what they'll be doing down the road. And just we brought in kind of some little touches in that, but really like the idea of opening that space up, having it be more welcoming, have it kind of really be the center of that entire, like Kurt makes all level two classrooms around there so that kids are drawn there.
So you mentioned one thing that can currently only one class attend in the library because it is a smaller space because we are getting rid of
the computer lab.
That computer lab
to the north.
Right.
It's pretty tight then.
You probably could, but it's just kind of an awkward space. And with everything becomes more mobile, so you can kind of move things aside to even get probably an entire grade level in there as well. But they typically just kind of have one class at a time. It's all those large tables and those.
Not conducive to two.
The other thing it does, though, is allow for better flow to those back two classrooms. Because right now, the kids kind of just, to get to those level two in the north end there, they kind of walk right through the middle of the library.
Right, and you can see it kind of behind where the little whiteboard is, too. That cuts across to kind of open that space back there for them. So as the kids are coming around, it gives them more room.
On the area where the most heavy traffic is on the, Bob, this is your question, not Karen. So it's not an education one, more logistics. When the kids, because the kids walk through east to west on the south entry point and exit point, because
along
here, that's a heavy flow area.
Yes.
Are we, and this is getting really specific in the weeds, but that's where I love to hang out. that's going to be, you got to have some separation, because right now they have the shelving there, and that creates a walkway. Mm-hmm. But you're going to have to keep tile there because there's tile versus carpet or something. I don't know how it's designed. I can't see that.
I think based on this plan, the carpet will stop
at that point
before that
cross corridor.
It stops right at that line.
So yeah, I wouldn't want carpet there anyways.
The material changes. The floor material changes.
Change is what designates the start and stop of the library,
right,
which is proper. And plus, just the heavy traffic cuts through there. You don't want to carpet. So,
Joe, okay. The other thing, too, is that currently there's bookshelves there.
Right.
So it's kind of, those will, I don't know if they'll be gone, but eventually they will, and there'll be cubbies there. And so it's really just more for those classrooms.
Well,
outside of that space.
So are you putting cubbies on? Well, you'd have to go back to the other plan, but not on the south end, only on the north end. Are there cubbies going
there
on
are,
the south?
There are areas throughout this space that have cubbies in there. There's a design for almost 150 cubbies to fit in there.
Okay.
Do you have another view of it?
Yeah, Mike, you can go back to the first slide.
So are you creating a wall here that fits cubbies?
Right? Low walls.
Right through.
So.
Be right.
Cubbies.
So
around.
Down
this
here.
Is the north end.
This is the wall.
Right. So there will be cubbies along, currently they're bookcased, and the cubbies will extend there.
But there's going to be nothing here. This is just where the carpet is. That's the beginning of the library or else.
Right.
And this is your corridor right here.
Correct.
Okay. Are these added cubbies?
Yes, there aren't cubbies in that space.
So
now
you're adding there. Okay.
I just wanted to mention now we have about 40 minutes left.
Move on.
I just wanted to make sure Karen jumped in on that one.
Okay, the next item of business here then is a replacement of the overhead sound systems. This is something else that are very, very old. It's about 97 is '97-'98 is the date that I have that they were probably installed. I've had issues over the past 4 or 5 years with virtually every sound system in the buildings, and this year we're looking to replace the ones at Forest Glen, Churchill, and Ben Franklin. Next year we would bring forward a recommendation to replace Hadley and then Lincoln.
Are we having safety issues here with these sound systems?
We're having problems finding replacement parts where the entire system will go down for a couple of days at a time until we can find a part to replace it. So that's what's happening.
So yes, there is a safety.
That's what we're having with a lot of the systems that we have in place now that have aging technology. They're just we're not able to maintain them any longer.
Those are the systems that yell out emergency stuff.
There are ones that get on the PA system. I need the student from this classroom or this classroom. And if those are down, you don't have that quick access
public
to room 304. and you have to send a student up or you have to go up.
So this year, which ones have gone down and for how long?
I would say, well, Churchill, Franklin, Lincoln, and I would say all four of the elementaries have gone down at one time or another for a day to 2 to 3 days. I know I've had issues at Churchill. We've had issues with all of the systems over the past several years.
Did any board look at this prior to this?
No.
Why not? I mean, I just want to know, did they reject it?
No, they never reject it. We didn't bring it up. I would
just, didn't we do something for Hadley?
We looked at a few different systems with some previous board members that I would prefer not to mention a name or names, but this is the time to make this type of upgrade to the system.
I thought we did some upgrading for
I may have replaced something along the lines, but I don't recall it offhand.
So this is just for the elementary.
Those three elementary schools, and they range anywhere from about $22,000 to about $26,000 in price.
Yeah, we did a whole bunch of stuff, and I think you did three different tranches for Hadley, as I recall. A year or two ago.
Well, if that's the case, then we wouldn't need Hadley next year, the following year. Because he's saying Lincoln and Hadley are coming to us.
Mike, do you recall replacing the Hadley sound system in the past X number of years?
The same core equipment.
No. I don't recall having done anything like that, and I've been here 8 years.
Okay, I know we did something.
I know when we were doing the parking lot, we brought some lines in off the pole to upgrade the incoming services.
Yeah, it had something to do with the auditorium.
Oh, we replaced light. Was it a sound system we replaced, Mike?
Did you put new lighting in
the auditorium? Yeah, about 5-6 years ago. Was it a sound system? Yeah, we upgraded the sound system
in the pods.
Oh, for the auditorium.
Correct. Okay. That's what we updated.
Good memory.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about sound system. I'm like,
you got it right. Yeah. So what we're talking about here is taking out all the old wire and all the old speakers. Taking that whole system out, throwing it away, bringing new speakers, new wire, the whole nine yards.
Correct.
Is this wireless? Is this a wireless solution?
Yeah. Is it wireless? I wasn't thinking it was wireless. Good question.
I'll have to ask Dave that question.
Yeah, I would highly doubt, especially in this building.
Especially in all the buildings. It's hard to get a wireless system with the old construction.
New facility, you can do it, but
depreciated life of this is another 20 years? 18, based on the 97?
Time frame, we would hope. And then really the final item here is we have four classrooms down in a lower level that we've had issues with the carpeting for a number of years. We're going to replace at least one of those classrooms this year. We're going to replace the carpeting down there.
So we have issues with carpeting, and we're replacing it back with carpeting as opposed to something else?
Instead of tile.
The issues are?
For flooding.
Flooding.
Removal and replacement of carpeting with tile. We have had ongoing issues with flooding down here. I mean, we get
with
a bad
tile.
Storm and it floods down there.
That's why it says tile.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No. Bob said carpet to carpet. Okay. Making sure it's tile.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Happened to me in my basement.
Okay, then that's all on the recommendations for the capital projects for this summer. The next order of business then is the discussion around the FGM contract amendments, and these are a little out of order in terms of numbers just because they were presented to me. Paul and I discussed, and we were not in the we didn't want to consider amendments 36 and 37 that they brought with us too. So basically what we have here is amendment 35, which is the four classroom addition that we're currently working on in Churchill. Earlier today, Joe and I had a conversation, and I put a piece of paper that has a reconciliation for each of you in front of you. Drew, you had one there. And Joe has one in front of him, and Paul has one in front of him. And basically, that shows
At the top, the 985 is what we committed to for FGM to do the construction projects, the four additions. And then a little bit below that is what I've laid out has been paid year to date on these additions, leaving a balance of approximately $53,000 that has not been paid out for this work. So Joe asked me for some questions, and we did some analysis. Total project is $985,000. What is the cost per classroom, or what is the cost for what I call a four-classroom pod? We currently spent $61,595 per classroom, or $246,000, almost $400 per pod. What does the addition at Churchill add on to? At $218,000, it works out to about $54,000 a classroom. Now, I did, as I was discussing earlier, Joe and I had a lengthy conversation today. There's a lot of things that fall outside or fall within the work that was done as part of that $958,000, which specifically is site work, site modification, stormwater. So trying to get an apples-to-apples comparison based upon, okay, here's a simple four-classroom addition. As the Churchill one is going to be, because all the site work and everything else that has gone into that project was done on the front end of this.
So were you trying to get like a square foot comparison?
Per classroom? Yeah. I was trying to do a classroom comparison.
So it's about $15,000 per classroom less, but again, there's a lot of differences involved in that to be able to come up with an apples-to-apples comparison.
There's also the music room or the whatever in the Churchill.
Churchill, yes.
So that one should be higher. Feel like the 218 should be lower.
We had site work. There was, wasn't there water issues on site?
Well, stormwater.
Stormwater issues.
We had stormwater issues at Forest Glen and Churchill that required the installation of an underground stormwater system. So there's a lot more work that went into the front end of this project.
Okay. So the 61 is really less when you get the brick and mortar comparisons. The thing is, I feel like the 61 is less than the brick and mortar is less because of the magnitude of the site work we've done. So I actually think the 54 is high. 54,688 is high for a classroom. I think you should ask them to rebid it and get the 218 down.
You're talking about FGM?
Yes. Okay. I think their price is a little high. Because the 61 per classroom includes so much outside work at Churchill. Right? I mean, the bids for that were over $1 million.
For 55 of a classroom. I mean, and Joe, I'm just trying to understand, in your world, how would you compare
it? I cannot compare it. I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to bring this to apples, because we agreed to do it before.
Well, but it's all based on their percent of construction. And they're only basing their contract off the value of construction.
And their value is about 8%, I think.
So if your construction numbers come in lower, that number goes in lower?
I don't know other contract structure.
Well, that would be something that we'd want to modify because we beat the bids last time, right? If we saved, you saved how much?
Well, we're savings, that includes contingency loans. So,
right.
You know, I don't know. There's like $600,000 in savings, $500,000 or $600,000 in savings.
Yeah. So we're talking about, what is that, $48,000 in savings of the 985 then, if the contract reads that way?
Yeah, I don't know how the contract is structured from that standpoint.
Yeah, I don't.
They sent us a copy of the contract that stated for this amendment the value is $280.
Oh, it's a fixed fee.
Yeah, it's a fixed fee. That's how I read it. And I just think doing the math in my head, given that this is an add-on contract, this isn't like you got 16, 17 classrooms you've done. To me, I look at this and...
Well, there are a couple of things to this. If you want to look at it from a classroom standpoint, you've got the connecting corridor,
right?
You've got the modifications to the existing, and you've got a brand new ComEd service fee that has to come around the building. All of which are complications on top of the classroom.
Why does the ComEd have to come all the way around?
Because the current configuration results in the transformer living in the courtyard, which is out of code. So we've got to move the transformer outside of that area.
That's because of where the corridor was placed?
Right. Because if the transformer is in board towards like the boiler room, is that kind of tucked back in that corner?
Understood.
So
I remember the questions I asked when they put the corridor in.
So that and the combination of the service size, it's being increased to a 600 amp service in the existing addition to accommodate the new addition, and then all the time associated with the modifications to achieve the changes to the existing addition to accommodate the changes in doors, the connection to the building, and so forth. So, you know, I agree with you on a straight line analysis. It should be lower, which it is, but there are other things that will increase the cost of it. Of the addition.
Understood.
So, you raise an interesting issue.
Yeah.
With the contract from FGM on the with the three costs. When you compare that to the
amendment,
well, you look at the Lincoln deal where it's pay as you go. So theoretically, that number per square foot would be higher.
It's we'll find out.
Okay.
Usually when you're doing an hourly, you probably are going to be higher. Mm-hmm. Just the way those contracts work out. The way I'm used to doing it wouldn't work here because I'm doing vanilla shells and you do price per square foot. They're doing a lot of interior work here, which would bring your price per square foot up, and I don't know that world. But I feel like this number... What is the percent? What is the budget on this?
We had it in the 2.5 to 2.8 range. So
I'm over 10% here at 2.18. If you're 2.5, I'm less than that. I'm at 8%.
That's why I said percentage earlier because I thought I'm sure they, as their starting point, they base it off the percent.
What was the year? What is the original?
About 8% is what their 8% of construction cost.
Sure, I'm sure that's where they started in terms of figuring out their. Work effort, and they established a stipulated fixed fee based
on that
final
score. On that budget. Just pull my calculator up. Okay. I did this earlier today.
We were top end 2.8.
Didn't that fall into that range?
It's 2.24 at the top end.
We can make that as a report back.
It's $200,000 at the low end.
Mm-hmm. But Bob, you're gonna come back to us with information.
What? Okay. Yeah. They're doing it as a flat fee. They don't. Mm-hmm. More importantly, I think we go back to our own contract, see if that it's actual cost or budgeted cost for what we were supposed to pay. Because we know we're under budget, so that's just something we should do to reconcile what we've paid to what's in the contract. Because we know we're under budget by $600,000 outside contingencies.
Well, could you come back next meeting?
Sure.
And then we do the same thing with the.
Well, this fee, I don't think this fee. The flat fee is a fine way to go as opposed to a percentage. Because if you go up, you're gonna pay more,
right?
You know, so to me, the flat fee is fine. My gut just tells me when you're working with people and you have relationships, I look at this and say that it's four additional on a four they're doing, and my expectation is this number is a little less. That's it. But I'm always like that with architects, so I'm not.
You have been consistent.
I have been consistent.
You have been consistent with.
I'm just one person here, and I'm coming with that bias.
Yep.
So can you talk
to
any of the architects I use? They'll tell you the same thing. So
well, let's push it back to the next meeting and we get some clarification for that. And you do the same thing with the architectural cost of the Lincoln
and the LLC.
Okay, then the next order of business then is the FQC manager contract.
But I got a bigger question. Don't we have two amendments? We just went over
yes,
one.
Yes, you do have two amendments. And one is for
yep.
the portable inspections.
Amendments. Yeah, I'm fine with that one.
And then the second one is for general services.
Okay, general services. This one, I start reading this. This is 39, correct?
Yes, it is.
And this, and just correct me when I'm wrong, right at the first word or the last word of my sentences. But there's a lot of construction management built into this, right? Into this contract. I mean, they use the word construction manager.
They do when they're, like, just as an example, for the four classroom addition, there are construction management responsibilities as part of that $218,000.
And that's where I'm having a disconnect. Because that's what Jack does. So now,
that's the wrong
but
word.
They
it's
still
the wrong
have
word. It's the wrong word of what they're doing. Because
where does it say construction?
All over the document.
Site visits, that type of thing. I believe is
right.
Administration.
Yeah, they're doing more. Well, they're doing some coordination with the third party, the engineers and stuff
yeah,
like that.
That's not construction.
And
it's
not
that's
management.
Contract administration.
I just the term to me. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have this work list in it, but I think there's a confusion when for the layperson that says, okay, Jack's sitting here, and this says construction manager. He's a construction manager. And somebody could come in and say, hey, you're paying mm-hmm. you're double dipping here. You're paying two people. Why do we need Jack? And I know why we need Jack, and I'm glad Jack's there. So I'd like this.
You're up next.
You're
not off the hook
yet. We should have went with yours first. But anyway, I think it should be worded correctly and go from there. And I think this is all in 39, right? General services.
Yes, it should.
Which wasn't the 218 that we were talking about.
No.
So, I mean, if they play as a construction manager in projects where Jack's not involved, then that's fine, right? Because they are the construction manager for those smaller projects. But like in that project, that smaller project there,
we're looking for Jack
right.
services.
So they're not construction managers. There may be areas where they are used as construction managers or will be, but I don't know. When I read this, it just didn't. It read like it wasn't what we actually want the term to be used, given that we have a construction manager who we pay.
Well, like when we did the Hadley parking lot a few years back, mm-hmm. we did not have a construction manager perform that work for us, and so FGM was there when I needed them to come out for site visits or whatever the case may be. So they did have a greater involvement in terms of actual construction management at that time.
But defining the term more clearly outside of what Bob just defined.
Does it change the amendment?
No, I don't think it does.
With clarity.
But I don't think it's good to be worded the way it's worded, given that we have one. That's fine.
I think that's good pushback.
Point.
Good to have that construction lens on it.
I should be on policy. I'm not good on policy. I read contracts. All right. The good news
next.
For you is I'm not very good with my
computer.
I totally got rid of my agenda, so you're off free and clear.
This is the best thing.
Can I ask you a quick question on 39?
Sure.
Here he says that you're budgeting about $500,000 for 60.
I'm budgeting $500,000 for all architect and engineering services for 2015 and 16.
For the year 15-16.
Correct. For next year, and this would be part of it.
And that okay. that 218 falls.
So that so 218 mm-hmm. falls within that.
So if you looked at 13-14, that number should be similar.
No, that number is substantially higher because of all the work that we did for the additions.
So if you just, I thought the additions are on a different amendment.
A different amendment.
So,
but
so
I budgeted for them out of architectural fees, and that was for the 13-14, and again for because we filed an amended budget in 13-14, where I increased the fees, and then 14-15 is the current year that a lot of these fees have been paid out. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm just trying to. If you, I guess what I'm trying to get to is, if you strip out the special projects, like the additions, the architectural services are relatively consistent for year over year.
If we're not doing capital projects, the construct architectural services are portable expenses, mm-hmm. the portable inspections, and then any other services that we might need for just under their general services contract. If we're doing capital projects or a building addition or some significant interior work like we did here, then their fees are going to increase.
Can I go back to one thing?
Go back to two.
I wanted to go back to capital projects in general.
Okay.
Sure. The fund?
You've got your roughly $500 million for the coming year.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing here for roofs. You don't think that there are no roofs that we need to do any work for next year
is when Paul and I discussed bringing a $1.5 million recommendation in terms of roofs that would be completed during the 16-17 school year.
Okay.
That's where we're looking to do some substantial roofs.
Okay. I didn't.
We talk about roofs a lot.
We did.
We pushed off roofs until.
We did some roofs.
We did.
We did the one where Lincoln where we had a
$100,000 project at Lincoln.
Yeah. Nice.
So we're
where are we at? At 7 o'clock.
Are we done with the FGM contract?
Yeah, we're on FQC.
Okay.
Skip.
But I'm Michael. My question was, I just want your full contract so I could understand the thing, so I don't know.
Did you get that today?
I sent it to
you.
Did you?
Okay.
Okay.
It's probably in my Gmail, right?
No, as a matter of fact, I sent it to your...
I didn't get it.
Okay, well, I copied you on...
I'm sure.
I might have printed a copy of it for you.
You know what? I got it.
There were.
You got it. I have it in this one, my Gmail. I didn't read it. I was in meetings. You sent it to me this afternoon, so it's here.
We've got it, Bob.
2 o'clock. I got it, Bob. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to be able to go through it in front of everybody. So, it's a standard AIA contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a standard CM agency contract. What I did was on the rates, just so you.
I got it.
There's some kind of rates.
Okay.
No, going forward is, I just did a straight. Translation. I took the exact same rates, put this in the amendment for this, because what will end up happening is the Churchill addition contract, part of that's going to be funded out of the current construction budget through savings and contingency. And our contract is a percent of construction contract. So if we're $1 million under budget, then
we're good.
You're good.
And if we're $1 million over,
and here you're going to actually add to the previous budget of 15.7. You're going to add $1.5 million to that. I'm sorry, 13.7. You're going to add $1.5 million mm-hmm. to that to bring the funding from the district through, in addition to the funding through the project, to cover the cost of the addition. And so whatever number that kind of gets to at the end, ours is a straight percentage of that. So this
the 3.1
is going to fall within that for fees and insurance. And then general conditions is whatever additional time we need to be on site to finish that, we'll just extend that same monthly rate for those additional
Okay. months. And that's where my question comes. Mm-hmm. That's the one area I have highlighted. Your current general conditions are spread over two sites. You have two superintendents?
Mm-hmm.
And this final job will be spread over one site, and you'll have one superintendent.
Correct.
So did you take that into consideration when we have the $22,250 per month?
Yeah, that's the one-person rate.
So you have the one-person rate.
Yep.
Then you've answered my question.
And then the $10,000. The $10,000 was for all the bidding and document prep and the pre-con estimating and so forth. So I allotted $7,500 for Churchill, and then which was comparable to the work that we did at the other four schools, but a little bit less. And then $2,500 to go put the work together for the LMC. So that's how I got to the $10,000.
All right.
That includes the LMC work. Yeah, we'll do the same thing. Whatever this work at LMC ends up happening, we'll just apply those same rates to it.
Okay. And in your letter, I have the agreement up in front of me in section 4, and I wrote to review it, but Section 4 is what allows you to do this under this contract.
Yes.
That it's just the legal ease that allows it to still fall under this AAA contract.
Absolutely. Okay. It's just additional services.
Services, that's what it says. I'm going to review it, but I'm fine.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And there really won't be any general conditions for the LMC because
it's a very small
job. It's a small job. We've got somebody on site already over the summer, so I mean, okay. At least connected to the project, so we still have some exterior work to do at Lincoln and Franklin.
I'm good.
You guys good?
Good.
Furniture?
Okay, then this evening we're also going to talk about the furniture bid. We went out to bid. A short time ago with regards to furniture that would be needed for this next year. We actually had, we split that up into three different packets. Packet number one being the furniture that will be necessary to warehouse or to outfit the classrooms at the additional four classrooms at Churchill. And that work came in at about $33,000 fully assembled. That's part one. Part two, I had a conversation again with Joe this afternoon. Over the previous, this will be the fifth year of implementation for this 21st century classrooms. We have about 105 elementary school classrooms, and we've done about 85 of them, maybe 90 of them already. And so what this is the balance of outfitting the remainder of the classrooms that haven't been touched, as well as any additional furniture needs. I was telling Joe today, you know, we have spaces in classrooms that have four teachers in there that work in small group areas with maybe six or eight kids. I've walked these spaces myself. My recommendation really is to get rid of all of the older furniture that's in there. We have older dilapidated desks and shelving units and so forth. I had a conversation with Paul, and our recommendation was really just to move everything forward so all the teachers' spaces look the same, all the kids' student spaces, and so forth. So this is an all-in price to finish off 21st century implementation of $129,822, again, fully assembled. And then I also have a document in here that shows what we bid for the Lincoln LMC, and that came in. Carol, where did that come in?
That's under capital projects.
I didn't include the spreadsheet. Okay. The total right now is about $40,000 for the work that responsible bidders actually quoted us. And then I told you there were a couple items that they did not bid us ahead of time or with the when the bids were due, but rather we do have some additional information on that now. There were a couple odd pieces of furniture that weren't bid, and then the circular desk wasn't bid, and that came in at around $7,000.
Then we're done
with 21st century classroom, and it's taken us 5 years to get there.
But everything's done. So
everything is done. Everything at the elementary level is done.
Just
and then I did about 7 years
did
ago,
you come to
six
me next
years
year,
ago, we redid all of the classrooms in this building in terms of what the desks were going to be like for junior high kids.
So
I think I did that over 2 years.
So in terms of our furniture now, what is your estimate that we're going to have to replace just based on wear and tear? I mean,
everything's brand new. And the previous desks were probably 20 years old.
So minimal. You've got things that are now 7 years old.
Well, I have, in this project here, it's in the fourth, fifth year of implementation.
Okay, so 6 years old.
Four or five.
Okay.
Right in there. Okay.
So, but I guess my question is, our need to replace furniture going forward will be minimal.
I would say for the next 8 to 10 years, they should be minimal.
Only in the elementaries.
Yes.
Only the elementaries. Got it.
But we did purchase new desks for this building also about 5 and 6 years ago.
Student desks?
2 years. Student desks, not teacher desks.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear there.
Okay.
Anything else on that one? 7:10.
And then Okay, what we wanted to do for you this evening, Mike, would you pull up the spreadsheets for us? Paul and I heard your comments in terms of what you were looking for as we move forward in developing the budgets for this year. And what we've done, at least from what I think I heard, is that you wanted to know what the actual expenditures were by department, by building, however we ultimately bring that forward. So we have already looked at the buildings and grounds and the tech budgets. What you didn't have in those original budgets were 12 and 13, 13, 14 actuals. I think that's what I heard people ask me to prepare. What did we actually spend in those two fiscal years? Then we have the 14, 15 budget. We have what has been sent, what's been spent this year for 14, 15 year-to-date numbers. Those are probably a couple weeks old, so they may have changed a little bit. And then what are our recommendations in terms of moving forward with the 15, 16 budget? In addition to that, what we've tried to do, Mike, would you scroll down on this budget, please? One more. We also, I believe, heard you ask what was the staffing plan. What did that look like at each one of the buildings? So we came up with how many administrators or an administrator per department, how many, and for this particular budget, how many maintenance people do we have, and then how many custodians do we have at each one of the buildings? So I think this is what I heard you ask for. What we're looking for is, do we have your blessing to move forward in this type of presentation?
From my standpoint, I said this over the phone to you, ideally, for me, when I'm looking at the actual for 214, 215, I'm looking at my 9 months of actual with my 3 months left of budget, and I'm combining them together. So now I can have an apples and apples comparison. So I have actual for nine, and then what is projected to be spent in the next 3 months? So then I can wrap that 12 months in one column. I can do it in two. I've done it in two, and then done a total, and then compare it to what I'm budgeting the next year. So it's a little different. I was trying to articulate that last time. But I was one person in the group, so maybe this is what.
Let's ask a larger question. Have you ever not hit your budgets outside of 1-2%?
Well, on a $50 million budget last year.
On the department line items.
Well, there's always differences in line items,
yeah,
but in our system, we don't.
Right.
Typically allow over expenditure of a particular line item.
Right. You're always going to spend what's in the bucket, pretty much.
Not necessarily. We find building principals or department folks not spending up to their budgets.
Up to 10%, 5%?
It could be 5 or 10%. It could be.
Joe's point's valid. Because if you were going to tell me most of these actuals come in at 1% of budget, 2% of budget, then, but if you're saying that there's possibilities that we could have 10% variances.
When I look at this data, it brings more questions. You know, brings more.
Well, data always does.
Right. That's what the beauty of data is. But to me, it's like, okay, when 15 is done, when we're on July 1st, what I would love to see, not exactly on July 1st, but if I was at my office, they know I'd ask for it. That, okay, here's what we budgeted. Here's our actual.
Where'd you end up?
Yeah. How'd you do it? You know, where'd you save money? Why did you save money? And I know we've already approved the next budget by then, but it helps you educate yourself about what you're spending your money on. And that's why this interim analysis is helpful. Because it's like I've gone through 9 months. I know what my next, what purchase orders have to be out. So these 3 months, we kind of know what they are. I mean,
we're closing off purchase orders. When did we say?
So then your year-end number is going to be darn close unless there's
on a cash basis. The only thing that changes that is when the end of the year, when the auditors come in and do year-end accruals and so forth.
I'm with you. But to me, if I'm thinking globally, long-term, if I know the 15th is April 15th, you cut off your purchase orders for the rest of the budgeted year, you have actuals up to that point, you have your purchase orders, you combine the two, and that is, you know, your revised or your adjusted budget for that fiscal year. And then I'm comparing that fiscal year's revised budget that still has about 90 days left with what we're budgeting for the next year. Then you get really good apples to apples.
But unless there's a particular expenditure that wasn't included in this fiscal year that would be necessary for the next fiscal year.
And remember, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get that forward-looking statement so we can look to the two steps ahead for the levy, right? The levy and the next year's budget, so we can kind of marry what the levy could be versus what the levy is just kind of like, let's do what we always do, and adjusting it to what you're doing here, Bob, which is the actuals, the budget, and then, you know, we've always asked, and you're working on that, is the 2 and 3 year forecast, right? Mm-hmm. So we can put that all together. And I think, Joe, I appreciate your comments, and I do like the suggestion for the 15-16 budget, but I'm wondering if we just go for the next 3 months, see where these things land with the money. And
don't do it now.
Don't do it now.
Yeah.
But in the next time around.
Yeah.
I think the comparison has to be done, though. And
we're not
here. Yeah, right. We're not here in July.
Yeah.
But, you know, come August.
I've been 2 years.
I was going to say.
But, so we have been the last 2 years. Well, Bob's got to take, he's got other things, too. He's got construction projects going on and stuff. But so doing it sometime in August where we can look at what we actually budgeted to. Because if we are going to save cost, you can't come in, day one, you can't come in and kind of understand all this.
Mm-hmm.
So getting this analysis in the format that we have over the last 18, almost 24 months, you should be able to start seeing where you can pinpoint the line item.
And I, Bob, this is kind of what I was looking for, and I appreciate it. Thank you. And then, we're always going to challenge you to start looking to that 3 and 5 year range, which you're starting to do with our other budget stuff, so we can tie that entire conversation around what hits all the community members now is the levy and why is it spent, how is it spent.
Okay, so this meets your expectations at this time.
Yeah, Bob, actually, I think this. I like what you've done. I really do. When you give me more data, I'm going to ask you more questions, but. From a structural standpoint, I like this format.
So my work now over the next few weeks is going to be taking all the department budgets and the building budgets and providing you with historical data for 12-13, 13-14, and then where are we standing with the budget for 14-15 currently.
And always keep it in the forefront of your head as you're moving in this direction that there's going to be a time that we're going to ask to pivot to have those numbers projected 3 to 5 years out. So make sure the work that you're doing are the building blocks to the answers to those questions.
Drew, do you remember a couple of years ago we actually presented some, I would get to the quarter of the year, half year, and then three quarters of the year and make some projections in terms of where I expected us to land.
In 2 years and 3 years.
Well, no, this was done on an annual basis. Right. I would take results at the end of the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and then where we expect those expenditures to land.
But I want to make sure that I'm clear, and I think we're asking for is the Finance Committee going into next year wants to make sure all the good work that you're going to do for the next 90 days, that you don't forget that eventually we're going to ask you to pivot another 90 degrees to say, okay, give us building and grounds budget in 3 and 5 years, right? So we can start projecting that stuff. And that's the things that you guys are doing now.
We do that.
And we're not looking back.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Okay.
But overall, structure.
I like it.
We're closer.
We got 2 out of 3. Let's move on.
I love it.
Can we ask a specific question about
this
now? On your building and grounds, you reduce your human capital, whatever your term is, on Churchill by 1 and Hadley by 1?
That's correct.
Okay. And can you explain why you feel you can make that cut?
It's due to one at Hadley, the number of custodians here, I felt like
we could lose one.
We could lose one.
Okay.
And then that's at Churchill. It really is working with, there's going to be a rotation set. Again, feeling like amongst all of the elementaries, we have enough custodians, but with that we would move on to ensure that there's support through each of the...
That's a good answer, because my next question...
I know. I see we're ready for you.
I see three more fours, one on Lincoln, one on... Franklin,
yeah, so it's fours. I'm not using the exact term that you're going to use.
Industry standards in terms of square footage and cleaning, and you've applied that to our staff, and we've had attrition with two different custodians retiring over the last year. So when we have people retire, we do a process of position control to see if we can continue the work differently or with less. And so this was kind of the prime time for us. We had the two retirements come through. We did the reduction here at Hadley, and we actually had switched someone from days to nights because we started out with just the reduction at night and found that we really need more help at night with the setup and such, so we moved someone from days to night. And then at Churchill, there's a rotation between the existing elementary custodians, and they come over and do a couple of hours at Churchill at night on a rotating basis, like for a week at a time. Dave's keeping an eye on that to see if that works or if it would make sense to have just one person kind of split between the two buildings. But again, working on industry standards and taking a look at how it's going and continuing to touch base.
I'm good with everything until I look at the K through fives, and I believe Churchill is the biggest school, square footage, and that's the one with three, but they're getting the flex time workers.
Three, 3-4-4 is probably not an accurate FTE. It's
okay.
Probably more like 375, 375, 375.
Okay. Well,
based
on future retirements, I think, hopefully Dave can look at those other fours and get them down to 3-5s.
We are vigorously looking at all of those
opportunities. And just added some things in there, too. Some different cleaning systems and efficiency.
Mm-hmm. Dave's been fantastic.
To help things to move along more quickly.
Thank you.
I can answer a quick question. The 1450 actual?
The date number?
Budget or technical?
This is
building
ground. And this is the actual, but this is the year-to-date?
Year-to-date. As at the last, I ran a report probably 2 weeks ago, so mm-hmm. I can finish up all this.
Gotcha. Okay. So the 4.3 million is a somewhat anomalous number because it looks like it's not going to be the same in prior budgets or...
You mean the 5.3?
No,
he's looking at the transfer to other funds, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a bit of an anomalous number.
I would absolutely. That was for to get money out of the O&M fund into the capital projects fund to do the elementary school additions.
Yeah. Okay.
And then that $599 you see down there is the annual payment for the elementary school additions to MB Financial.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. We good?
I'm good.
All right. Thank goodness we started at 6.
Thank you.